At daybreak on the first day of the week, the women who had come from Galilee with Jesus took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were puzzling over this, behold, two men in dazzling garments appeared to them. They were terrified and bowed their face to the ground. They said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and rise on the third day." And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and announced all these things to the 11 and to all the others. The women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. The others who accompanied them also told this to the apostles, but their story seemed like nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, bent down, and saw the burial cloths alone. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good evening, everyone. It's good to see the church so packed full of people on this holy night as we celebrate the Easter Vigil. And I want to welcome all of you for being here and thank you for coming and making the sacrifice of coming to church when you're good and tired and you know that you're coming to the Easter Vigil. And so it's like the longest liturgy of the year. And so I thank and welcome all of you for coming to this Easter Vigil. And I want to be perhaps the first to truly wish you Happy Easter. Thank you. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ is the greatest revelation in the world of God's love for us. Never was there ever such a sign of love shown that God would give his Son to pay for the ransom of us of a slave, as we heard in the Exalted. And in that opening prayer, we see that even more glorious than the act of creating the universe itself, with it billions of galaxies and seemingly endless space as it goes on, all of this creation is even greater than that, is the fact that God so loved the world that he sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross for us, and then Jesus did something spectacular. He rose again from the dead. Never before has such a thing been done. Never before has there been such a sign of God's love. And so when we look at the crucifix, we should see the greatest sign of love that there ever was. The empty tomb, then, that we celebrate on Easter is the victory of that love, that the world came and conspired against the Lord and did its worst to him. Jesus was judged by a ruler of this world and was found to be too worldly. They claimed that he was a king. He was too worldly, and so he was condemned for that. He was condemned by the religious leaders of his time as well. They said he was too religious. He claimed to be God's son. He was too religious for them. And so the world conspired against our Lord, and the world did its worst. The word for crucifixion, this excruciating pain, the worst penalty that the Romans could give to a person to nail them to the cross. And so the world did its worst to Jesus, and Jesus rose from it. And so the empty tomb is the great victory of love. If we truly believe in Jesus' resurrection from the dead, then it should make all the difference in the world to us and the way that we live our lives today. When we are pressured by the world to give up things that we believe and hold sacred, when society urges us to abandon God's laws, we must remember this is coming from people who do not believe in the resurrection, and so they do not believe in their own judgment either. Every Sunday that we celebrate during the year is an extension of Easter, and every Sunday we speak about our belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and also we profess our belief that he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. The word judgment is a word we really don't like to hear, but I think it is perhaps central to our Easter celebration. Jesus was judged by our world, but God redeemed him, and now he is seated at the right hand of our Father, and he will come again to judge us all. To think about judgment can be frightening, but it is also our greatest hope. I hope for the judgment. True justice in our world today is a rare thing, and we don't always see it. Here in this world, we are scandalized and we cry out to God, or it even becomes for some a reason to doubt God when they see atrocities being committed, when they see the innocent suffering, good people being trampled on. It would appear that evil prospers all around us. And yet Christ rose from the dead to prove that suffering and injustice will not be the last word. And so all the things we suffer in this fallen world because we believe and follow Christ, by struggling in honesty to be fair and just, by being pure of heart, by being faithful to God, by being kind to others and attentive to the needs of our neighbors, all the hardships and humiliations that come to us from following Christ here on earth will be made up 100-fold on the day of judgment for you and for me, when Christ will set everything right. Ancient Christians, seeing the sufferings of the martyrs and persecutions, used to cry out, "Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. When are you coming to judge this world?" And perhaps many of us are saying that again today in our world. Come, Lord Jesus, and judge this world. Set all the wrongs right. The resurrection is Christ's promise that justice will be done and right and wrongs will be made right. I'd like to quote here from Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI from his encyclical letter, Spe Salve, and he says this: "A world which has to create its own justice is a world without hope. No one and nothing can answer for centuries of suffering. There can be no justice without a resurrection from the dead." This innocent sufferer, Christ on the cross, has attained the certitude of hope. There is a God, and God can create justice in a way that we cannot conceive. Yet we can begin to grasp it through faith. Yes, there is a resurrection of the flesh. There is justice. There is an undoing of past suffering and reparation that sets all things right. Only God can create justice. And faith gives us the certainty that he does so. The image of the last judgment is not primarily an image of terror, but an image of hope. For us, it may be the decisive image of hope. And I'll end the quote there from Pope Emeritus Benedict. If we stop to think about it, our knowledge of God's justice and coming judgment, that justice will ultimately be done, that the friends of God will receive their eternal reward and come to everlasting life and joy and glory in heaven, this knowledge is a real and great gift to us. It puts all of our small, petty, day-to-day problems in proper context. They are all passing away. It even puts the big challenges and terrible sufferings in our world in context, too. They, too, are passing things and will pass away, and God will make all wrongs right. What matters most is that we stay close to our Lord through loving God and loving our neighbor. And we can do both, whether we are in times of peace or in times of great trouble and anxiety. The good news of the judgment, then, is a source for us of supernatural tranquility, a peace that the world does not have. As Scripture says, be not afraid. Let nothing take your peace away from you. St. Paul goes on to say that he even does not fear death, but rather he looks forward to it. Of this tranquility and peace that comes from the trust in the resurrection and God's justice, there comes a beautiful story regarding St. Basil. St. Basil was ordered to appear before the emperor's interrogator, who roared at him like a lion. He was accused of not honoring the religion of the emperor. St. Basil quietly and calmly answered that to do so would be to worship a creature and not the true God. The more the official seethed and raged, the more calmly St. Basil replied with calmness and superior dignity. St. Basil is finally threatened with severe punishments for his insolence, confiscation of all his property and wealth, exile to a foreign land, torture, and even death. St. Basil responds with great calm and dignity. None of these things can hurt me, he said. Confiscation of my land or property holds no threat for a man who owns nothing, unless you want these rags and a few books that I own. As to exile, I do not know the meaning of it, since no place exists that can confine me, nor do I have a place I can call my own, either where I live now or anywhere else where I might be exiled to. All things belong to God, and I am merely a passing guest enjoying his hospitality. As for torture, how can I suffer that since I barely have a body any longer, unless you mean the right to inflict upon me the first stroke, of course, for this alone is in your power. But death would be a welcome friend, as far as I am concerned, for it would send me to God. And for him alone I live and order my existence, and for him I have died, to the most part, and towards him I have long been hurrying. The prefect was struck with amazement. He said, no man to this day has ever spoken to me like this with such boldness. To which St. Basil responded, perhaps you have never met a bishop before. Another story, I'll make it very short. St. Miguel Pro in Mexico, celebrating Mass when the government forbid him to celebrate Mass, he was finally captured by the government, and they wanted to humiliate him and to put it on national television. And they had news reporters and newspapers, and all the media was there, and they hoped that he was going to cry like a baby and beg for his life. And rather, he stood there and said, Viva Cristo Rey! Long live Christ the King. Brothers and sisters, because of the reality of Christ's resurrection from the dead, and because he will judge all things and right all wrongs, we should be the happiest people of all, full of his peace, and we should live in his grace. We should have courage to be his witnesses in the world, just like St. Basil and Miguel Pro. Let the light of Christ's resurrection fill all the dark parts of your life and put all things into perspective. Only one thing is necessary, that we strive to live the truths that he taught us in the gospel and through his holy church. May the light of grace of his resurrection give you strength and courage to be his witnesses in a fallen world. And may God bless all of us. Happy Easter.